Hi people, welcome back to Dr. Sam's Musings. How have you guys been? I know I took another week off, and I promise, like, so it's not just my podcast. I've had consistency issues with a few things that I've been working on, just because I've been, you know, quite distracted trying to get some projects going and whatnot. But honestly, I'm getting my mojo back, and once I finish this relationship season, I promise that we're going to go back consistently to weekly podcasts on Feeding It by God Almighty's grace. So to make up for the inconsistency of this season, I'm going to close out this season doing something that should be very interesting. I'm going to be giving myself a self-interview on a topic that I know piques a lot of interest. So it's going to be titled My Relationship with Polygyny. And the idea came to me from somebody asking me this week if I was willing to do an interview. I think she mentioned TVC and BBC about, you know, the pros and cons of polygamy. And I was like, you know what? A lot of people ask me questions about polygyny, I guess because I've been quite vocal about it and whatnot. And there are days that I honestly am not in the mood to answer. There are days when I'm more than happy to answer as many, you know, decent questions as possible. But there are days when I'm not in the mood at all to answer. So I thought, okay, it would be nice to actually have something that I can say, you know what? Go and listen to my podcast. It would answer all your questions. So today I'm going to be giving myself a short self-interview on the true nature of polygyny. There are many, many questions that people ask me. And like I said, 90-95% of the time I'm more than willing to answer. But there are days that I have off days. Maybe I'm not in the mood, I'm busy, or the person's tone or whatever just rubs me off the wrong way. So I'm going to go through, I think, about 10 of the more popular questions that I've been asked and try and answer them in as impersonal a way as possible, and obviously with a lot of respect for my husband and my co-wife. But I feel like, you know, I've always been someone who likes to educate about anything, especially about Islam, and I just don't feel inclined in any way to shy away from a topic that is a part of Islam and that I find myself in and I can shed light on. It's a topic that makes many people uncomfortable. It's a topic that generates a lot of interest and a lot of, you know, curiosity. So yeah, let me just answer some of your questions. So I'm just going to dive straight into it. And if I cannot finish all the questions, or if I feel like the podcast is proven too long, then I'll do it in a two-part series. Or if not, I'll do two parts and then you can listen at your, you know, convenience. So the first thing is, what is polygyny? Because a lot of people ask me, why do you say polygyny? Is it not polygamy? So polygamy is a broad term for individuals having multiple spouses or partners. But Islam does not support full polygamy. Islam permits only polygyny, which is one man and multiple wives, up to four wives. Polyandry is another form of polygamy, which Islam forbids, and that is a woman having multiple husbands. And people always ask me, if the men can do it, why can't the women do it? And come on now, this one is even just common sense. Like, even little things like childbearing. So every time, if a woman marries multiple husbands, every time she has a baby or she's pregnant, they have to be doing DNA tests. Which husband, which this, which that. Anyway, we're not even going into that. But that is why I always say polygyny. But a lot of people use it interchangeably with polygamy because they assume that, you know, you understand what we're talking about. And this is not a pro-polygamy podcast, not in anyway. This is not a podcast to tell you about the benefits or why polygamy. No, and this is also not a podcast to defend, you know, my faith or why Allah permits polygamy. I'm not here to convince anybody or to, you know, I'm not. It's something that Allah, in His wisdom for us as Muslims, has permitted. He knows what comes with it. He knows the feelings of the women in it. He knows the challenges that the men will face in it. And in His wisdom, He still permitted it. And, you know, in the Muslim community, there's a lot of talk. People will say things like, yes, but even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was married to Khadija, he didn't marry anybody else until, you know, she died. And, you know, that means this. He married the other women for social justice because they were widows and, you know, things like that. And, you know, that argument kind of cancels itself out because the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to us as a prime example for many things. And there's a reason why Allah did not make him marry anybody else when he was married to Khadija. And I believe that that reason was just because Allah wanted us to also know that monogamy is very okay. And the excuse or the reason that people give that all the other women that he married were for, is it doesn't hold water, because Aisha radiallahu anha was not a widow, nor was she a divorcee. She was a young girl that he married, and we all know that they had this really, really beautiful, remarkable love story despite being in a polygyny. So I feel like the Rasul's life, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was just sent to show us that, look, if you choose monogamy, if you choose polygyny, both are allowed in Islam. Just make sure that you do the right thing. So I'm not here to argue with anybody or to, I mean, anybody can think what they think. That's not the point of this. The point of this is to share my, you know, relationship with it and just really, you know, give, you know, an unbiased opinion about the whole matter. So the first thing that people always ask me is, what was your reaction when your husband told you? And I always laugh because I'm like, are we not all women? What kind of question is that? Of course, I was shocked. I was maybe not shocked, because I'd been God had kind of warned, giving me hints that something major was coming. I'd had some very, very specific dreams. And I kind of knew that, look, if God is going to test me, I mean, what else at this phase in my life, at this stage in my life? So my heart was kind of already prepared, but it was still like a shocker. It was still like, hey, now wow. And you also have to realize that men are like so influenced by a lot of things. So a lot of my husband's friends about his age had taken second wives. You know, the climates that we live in, we're in the north, it just makes it easier for them to make that decision. And then, you know, when you meet someone that you fancy and you like, you know, there's permissibility from the faith as well. So you just tie everything together and you're like, okay, yes, this is what I want to do. And so I guess for me, it was a shocker. I'm a woman, you know, I bleed red, I have emotions, and I'm a very thin-skinned woman. So I was shocked, I was hurt, I was confused, I was all those things. But one thing that my husband and I have always had is effective communication. So we sat down and we talked about it, and I felt some reassurance, but at the same time, I was still a bit antsy and a bit scared. So I did what I always do, and I took it to God in prayer. And the feeling that I got from God, the persistent feeling that I got from God, was, Samia, will you not trust me? Will you not trust me? Will you not trust me? I'm not going to leave you. Will you not trust me? So I let go, and I literally let God. And yes, that was it. That was how I felt. It was confusing. It was, of course, hurtful. And especially, you have to consider, because there are many things that play a role in these things and how you receive it. For me, it was like weird, because we have a beautiful marriage. It's something that we've always, you know, we have a beautiful, you're a very unique marriage. So for me, it was like, now wow, on top of all this, upon all this, you know. And so that kind of shocked me a bit, like, what else can somebody do? Like, what else can somebody want again? But again, you know, your mindset and someone else's mindset, you know, can never be the same. I don't know what my husband's mindset was. I don't, and it's really, really not for me to try and understand, because there's some things that I feel like, you know, we'll just understand and accept that God knows and God has chosen this. So for me, I didn't really, really want to poke too many holes, because it will take you down a rabbit hole that will literally drive you mad if you try to truly understand this thing. I spoke to a lot of guys about it. Let me not exaggerate. One or two guys about it. And, you know, the thing that they kept saying was, Sam, you can't understand from a guy's perspective. You can't understand. It's not something that, you know, you just take as, oh, my husband doesn't love me enough, he's going to marry another woman. It's not like that. And I just, you know, after a while, I was just like, you know what? These are one of those things that maybe on the day of judgment, maybe God will explain to me, because the truth is, it will never make 100% sense. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with accepting that. You know, it doesn't have to make sense to me, as long as it makes sense to my husband and it makes sense to God Almighty. For him, he's done what he felt was right, and God has given him permission to. So my role in this is to decide if it's going to be something I want to be part of, and if it's something, and if I decide that it's something that I want to be part of, how am I going to act in it? So those are the things that concerned me. So that takes me to the next question that people always ask me. I don't understand, Sam, why did you stay? Like, you're an independent woman, you're so exposed, you're so this, why did you stay? Why did you accept this? And I just always laugh, because I'm like, I didn't have any reason not to stay. So for me, I'm very spiritual. I don't make decisions on my own anymore. I'm the kind of person that I take matters to God, and He always tells me what to do. And whatever God tells me to do at that point is what I'm going to do. Even if it's, you know, against what I feel, what I want to do, what God tells me to do is what I will do. And the truth is, I didn't have any reason not to stay in my marriage. Like I said, we have a beautiful, and please note that I'm not saying hard. We have a very beautiful marriage. And there was just no reason for me to walk away. And then even at the point where I was like, you know what, yeah, I don't know if this thing is for me. I don't know if I want to do this thing. And I remember that night, and I shared this yesterday as well. I was praying and I was telling God, you know, yeah, I'm just going to leave. Please make it easy for me. And that same night, God told me to go read the story of Jonah, like Yunus alayhi salam. And it was like Jonah left the city because he was frustrated because they were not listening to his message. So it's like, look, I'm not hanging with people anymore. I'm going to leave them to their device, and I'm going to leave the city because I don't want to be destroyed with them. And he left in anger, and he got swallowed up by the whale. So God was telling me, Sammy, I did not tell you to go anywhere. Stay where I told you to stay. And I was like, okay, I get it. I was just thinking it all. You know, so for me, I work with instruction from God. And so God didn't ask me to leave. And then I didn't have any reason in my marriage or within me to say, you know what, this is not, I didn't have any reason yet. So I'm the kind of person that even if I'm going to quit something, I'm going to need to have concrete reasons. Okay, when he married a second woman, he changed towards me, or the second woman came and she made my life miserable, or this. I need to have a concrete reason to say, okay, I walked away from a beautiful marriage because X, Y, Z. But it didn't make sense to me at the time to walk away from a beautiful marriage based on something that God had permitted. Based on something that God had permitted. It just didn't make sense to me. So I stayed, and I have no regrets, you know, staying. And when people ask me, so Sam, okay, it's just me and you now. Okay, what is it really like? Like, what is it really like in a polygyny? I always say, you know, it's a multi-level, multi-layer thing. First of all, there are feelings within you as an individual. There's the level, there's the approach, there's the angle of you and your spouse, and then there's the angle of your new family member and all the other people that it affects one way or the other. So as regards me as a person, there's still days that, you know, I worry and I'm concerned. And I think, did you settle? Did you sacrifice your idea of love and happily ever after for your husband? Did you change the course of your life for someone else and things like that? I still have those thoughts. But again, I always take it to God. And I believe without a shadow of doubt that God is leading me. I've surrendered my life, every single thing about my life to God Almighty. That if I'm here right now, I know that this is where He needs me to be. If He needs me to move, He will orchestrate it the way that He always does. My life has always been a story of I plan A and God redirects me B, and B turns out to be excellent for me. So if God wants me to move, if God wants me to leave, if God thinks that I'm making a wrong decision, I believe without a shadow of doubt that He will show me. But I'm still here. You know, I have great days, and I'm so thankful that by the mercy of Allah, my great days are like way more than the days where I feel down or confused or just flat out irritated. And that's the truth. There are days when you're just like, what's all this nonsense? If maybe when one major change comes along and you're just rolling your eyes. And that's the truth of it. Like, we're all human beings, and I'm an honest person. There are days when the whole thing is just like,